Tuesday, March 10th, 2015, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Would you like some malware on your popcorn? Security researcher has found two seriously scary exploits in the way Blu-ray runs hidden code in the background. How can one material make our shoes more comfortable and protect power plants from the effects of earthquakes at the same time? Progress is being made on metamaterials, and we'll give you the latest buzz. Computers can now detect and track people even from very blurry security video footage. The newly announced Freak bug allows the interception and easy decryption of supposedly secure data. A man has been arrested for dissing his employer on Facebook and could face up to 5 years in jail. And the massive multiplayer online game Star Trek Online has paid tribute to Leonard Nimoy, who passed away on February 27th. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Chroma Key green screen kits are on sale now at cat5.tv/green. Save over 50% off the regular price. Get all you need to build your very own green screen studio and start doing special effects for video or still photography now. cat5.tv/green.
I'm Sasha Germanis, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. A pair of exploits in hardware and software used for playing Blu-ray discs has come to light. Stephen Tompkinson, a security researcher for NCC, presented his research at the Securité Conference at Alberta University in Scotland on Friday. At the event, he showed how he'd been able to create a Blu-ray disc that detects the player it's running on and then chooses one of two exploits to install malware on the host computer. Blu-ray discs support additional content like dynamic menus, which are built into the discs using Blu-ray Disc Java, and these use Xlets for user interface. Tompkinson found a flaw in CyberLink Power DVD, which is included in many Windows-based computers, that allowed him to leave the Xlet sandbox and launch malicious code. The second exploit targets Blu-ray players. He was able to get root access on a Blu-ray player, where he was able to trick the system into running a command that would install malware. Since the video continues to play, users may not even suspect that something malicious is going on in the background. Until the exploits are fixed, users are being advised to avoid Blu-ray discs from unknown sources. So be careful not to buy your Blu-rays from, you know, a flea market or somewhere where they're at an incredible deal and maybe not in their packaging, Robbie.
A lot of that kind of stuff goes on. You see a lot of bootleg discs and stuff. The flea market's a good example, but, you know, somebody brings out a box of stuff that looks a little shady, maybe not quite legitimate, and they could put malicious code on there. That's a little bit scary, I'll tell you.
That is scary, and yeah. One of those things where you're better off to just go and pay the extra dollars for safety.
Well, they have Netflix these days too. I mean,
that's true. So there you go. Physicists are abuzz with possibilities for metamaterials that can be designed to have surprising properties. Tweaking the structure of materials to manipulate things like their appearance is already fairly well known. The next phase is changing their mechanics. A major conference is alive with ideas, designs, and samples, including springy ceramics, unfeelability cloaks, and programmable rubber sponges. They could help build spacecraft tiles or even terrain-sensitive shoe soles. Professor Martin from the Karlsruhe Institution of Technology in Germany works on cloaking, but not in the way you're thinking. His aim is to make things invisible. His aim is not to make things invisible, sorry.
Which one will it be?
They will not be invisible. Instead, he wants to hide them from physical forces. And last year, his lab produced a honeycomb-like material that made an object beneath it unfeelable.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's exciting. If this particular metamaterial... Or this particular metamaterial was a solid lattice that acts like a fluid in certain ways, deflecting pressure around its hidden cargo, which in my opinion is something the pirates will love. In this picture, a small honeycomb structure made from the material was able to successfully cloak the cylinder beneath it from being felt.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what that would do for, like, I'd love to have that on the bottom of my shoe.
Oh, yeah.
And be able to walk and not feel the stuff that you're stepping on and stuff. Imagine that in like a workforce.
How comfortable
they had, like,
would your
steel-toed shoes with actually being able to step on a nail and it just kind of absorbs the the nail.
As a waitress, let me tell you, if I couldn't feel what I was standing on my whole day, I'd be a smiley person.
Bed mattresses.
Wow.
Mattresses. Think about that.
Everybody would be in bed
the
all
the time.
Bowling
ball example.
Exactly. That'd be crazy. I like this honeycomb thing. Yeah. Wow, the princess and the pea. Wow.
There's no end to it.
It was shown that a careful pattern of such materials could divert damaging earthquake vibrations, turning the ground itself into sort of a metamaterial, it seems, might go so far as to protect a powered station from a tremor. So that's an amazing development.
What a use for it there. Yeah, that's very cool. So you think in an earthquake environment where the foundation would shake, possibly crack or fracture, and in a power plant or a nuclear plant, you'd have some serious problems caused by that.
My assumption is, though, it's probably something that can't be retrofitted, which means it would be new builds.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But I mean, there comes a point in infrastructure where some of these buildings have to be rebuilt anyways, or through expansion. I mean, they're building new buildings all the time, but maybe some of these old buildings need to be rebuilt. Because they can't be retrofitted, but that could be an answer to a lot of problems.
I like it. Fujitsu has developed imaging processing technology that can be used to track people in security camera footage, even when the images are heavily blurred. Fujitsu Laboratory said its technology is the first of its kind that can detect people from low-resolution imagery in which faces are indistinguishable. Detecting the movements of people could be useful for retail design, reducing pedestrian congestion in crowded urban areas, or improving evacuation routes for emergencies, it said.
Yeah, right.
Was that
We're
right?
not falling yeah, for right. it, Fujitsu.
Yeah, right.
yeah, yeah.
Or maybe tracking your every movement. Fujitsu used computer vision algorithms to analyze the imagery and identify the rough shapes, such as heads and torsos, that remain even if the image is heavily pixelated. The system can pick out multiple people in a frame, even if they overlap. I would wonder, though, until this is actually developed, how many people might be misidentified. Using multiple camera sources, it can then determine if two given targets are the same person by focusing in on the distinctive colors of a person's clothing. An indoor test of the system was able to track the paths of 80% of test subjects. So 20% can't be tracked, and
those are the ones wearing the invisibility cloak.
That's right, or that dress.
I can't differentiate the color. Would the computer be able to figure it out?
Oh, you know, I like this in some ways, and it scares me in
this technology.
Many ways. Yeah.
Okay, so to be clear, it's not tracking. Okay, this technology is not saying that's Sasha Dermatis walking through the mall.
They're saying that's a torso.
It's saying that is a torso, and it's the same torso that I see on this camera, and it's the same torso that I saw over here 10 minutes ago.
Right.
But then cross-reference that with other software with a higher resolution camera at the entrance of the mall. This is what they're not telling us. High resolution camera takes a picture of you on your way in and says, okay, yep, he's the only one wearing that sweater. So as now they have a high res image of me, they've put it through facial recognition programs which already exist, and they're able to say, hey, that's Robbie Ferguson. We've got access to his social profiles, and we can see all this information about him. And then using the low resolution cameras, they can then track my movement through the mall, and they can say, oh, even though these cameras say I don't know who that person is, we can cross-reference that data with other high-resolution data and say, oh, that's Robbie Ferguson there walking through the mall, even though we can't tell from that particular image. So it's almost like a sugarcoating, oh, well, you can't really tell who it is. Well,
here,
you can if you cross-reference the data, because we're able to track. So if I'm able to look at you and say, that's Sasha Dermatis, and then from afar, I can still see you walking, even though I can't from afar tell that that's you.
Yeah.
I know that that's you, so I can make that differentiation. So can a computer. That's what they're not telling us, and that's where it becomes a little bit ominous.
Why on earth would you put something like this out and call it something other than what it is? Why spin it in a positive way when everybody could deduce that
so that the public will approve of it.
It doesn't matter.
Because person of interest is the next step.
Right, but it doesn't matter if we approve of it or not. It's going to happen anyway.
It is absolutely already
happening.
You know
what? You have to just wear layers. Wear layers and take off your layers of clothing. Protect yourself. Change your posture. Exactly. I don't know what to say.
I can't figure it out. I don't know who that guy with the yellow dress shirt is.
This umbrella that this guy is carrying keeps changing colors.
Yeah. Maybe I could go shopping and change in the change room. There you go.
Oh, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Other than, Microsoft has issued a security warning about a bug that could let attackers spy on supposedly secure communications. Called Freak, the bug was found in software used to encrypt data passing between web servers and web users. Initially, the flaw was thought only to affect some users on Android and BlackBerry phones and Apple's Safari web browser. Microsoft's warning suggests millions more might be at risk of losing data. The Freak flaw was discovered by encryption and security expert Karthikeyan Bhargavan and lets attackers force data traveling between a vulnerable site and a visitor to use weak encryption. This makes it easier to crack open the data and steal sensitive information. Statistics gathered by a group set up to monitor the impact of the Freak flaw suggest about 9.5% of the web's top 1 million websites are susceptible to such attacks.
Hmm.
That's scary. The monitoring group has also produced an online tool that lets you check if your browser is vulnerable to the flaw. You can access this tool and learn what you need to do at freakattack.com. I don't know. Microsoft now.
Well, now that they're mentioning it, because originally it was thought that this was just smartphones and things like that, but to find out that it's also affecting the Windows operating system and 9.5% of the world's largest websites, that's a little bit scary, because if we've talked about it before, if someone is able to intercept, play man in the middle with your data, and it's encrypted in a non-safe way, and they're able to decrypt it rather easily, then your financial transactions and the things that you're doing online that should be encrypted and that you trust are encrypted could be compromised. And that's a scary, scary thing.
Actually, I have a weird thought. This freakattack.com that you go to find out whether or not your website is at risk.
Your computer, your browser that you're using on your computer or your phone.
Okay, because I was going to say, could anybody just log in and see whether or not you're at risk and then target you that way?
They could.
No.
Yes. However, through this service, it will just simply tell you if your browser is affected by it basically exploits your browser. It tests if it is exploitable.
And then it sells you a fix.
But there's no... Yeah. And then click here to shop on Amazon now that we know.
Exactly. An expat American has been arrested in the United Arab Emirates for comments he posted on Facebook while in the U.S. Helicopter mechanic Ryan Pate wrote on Facebook while in Florida after arguing with the global aerospace logistics over sick leave. On returning to Abu Dhabi from Florida, he was arrested for breaking the country's strict cyber slander laws. The laws were introduced in late 2012 and make it an offense to use the net to mock or deride organizations and individuals. His trial is due to start on March 17th. Which is St. Patrick's Day, and he could face up to 5 years in jail and a large fine if found guilty. Well, he was on sick leave and in the U.S. while supposedly working in the United Arab Emirates.
I don't know.
I think that there's something more to this
Sasha,
story.
Sasha, don't judge. Come on. Just because he's on a beach in Florida.
Doesn't mean that he's not recovering from something.
No, as far as I understand it, he's seeking medical help from American doctors.
Oh, okay.
And so to be on sick leave from your work in order to be in America care. And it would be frustrating if you're here, you know, in the United States or Canada for medical treatment and you need to stay longer and your employer won't let you.
That's true. I wonder what slander is. Like, is just stating the facts slander?
I think he was probably pretty nasty, but I mean, some people have tempers. And sometimes it unfortunately shows its way onto Facebook, where an emoticon can't necessarily show that you're just taking it out. So if somebody's watching that and it's illegal, it's illegal?
Oh, he is not going to have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
No.
The massive multiplayer online game Star Trek Online has paid tribute to the late actor Leonard Nimoy with two permanent in-game statues of Spock. One includes the phrase, "Live long and prosper," while the other reads, "The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few." In the announcement posted on Friday on the Star Trek Online website, executive producer Steve Rakosa addressed what the late actor meant to the Star Trek community, calling Leonard Nimoy a cultural icon and explaining that his passing has been felt farther and wider than Leonard himself could have possibly known. And it's that humility, despite all of his skills, talents, and fame, that made him someone we all cared about. Nimoy's name also joins another memorial on the site alongside creator Gene Roddenberry, DeForest Kelly, James Doohan, and Majel Barrett. The actor who originated the role of Spock passed away on February 27th at age 83. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.